Is that on? Okay. I'm glad to be here. I hate that Bill couldn't be here. Bless his heart. This is his most favorite time of the year. But yesterday afternoon, Bill walked into my office and said, "I don't think I'm going to make it tomorrow." I said, "Wow, I'm in the midst of getting ready for Christmas. My daughter's birthday party today for our family. And, you know, it's been crazy. But, I mean, it's been good. It's been doable. God's grace is sufficient, right?"
Amen.
And I said, you know, praise God that, because yesterday morning early, I said, "Oh, I think you better find somebody else to do the message." "Oh, no, I can do it." And I said, "Why don't you listen to me?" "I'll do it." But thank God I listened to God, because God last week gave me a word that I want to share with you all today. And I'm really excited, but I didn't have time to prepare for notes. So just sit back and relax and just try to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So Merry Christmas. I want to welcome all of you here this morning. And it's a blessed day. We're blessed to be here and be able to worship the Lord and honor his birthday in our nation, in this free country, and this blessed country that we live in. Amen. Every morning I get up, just about every morning, I rarely miss it. I get up and I go in my little office and I light my little candle. That's not a religious ritual, I just like the smell of it. And especially since I have my little dog next to me that sometimes needs a bath. And I get my Bible out, my Pandora music, you know, worship music, or just, you know, instrumental music, and just really take that time to spend with the Lord. It really sets my day. It's just absolutely awesome. I can't hardly stand it if I don't get the opportunity to do that these days. And God just is so faithful. He just meets me there because I come there expecting to encounter him and to worship him and to honor him in my life. And if we do that, he'll absolutely meet us there. And I just want to encourage you maybe to consider doing that if you don't do that. Last week I was doing my devotions and I was reading, I started in December reading the Christmas story and just thinking about Christmas. And I'll just tell you, in case this might help you out, if you wouldn't know what to do and you wanted to start a time of devotion, excuse me, I just open my Bible, or I have the Bible app for daily devotions, and I'll just read on that and start with that, a scripture, and I'll think about it. And then I'll look around and read the scriptures around and start writing down, you know, my thoughts and my prayers with regards to that. And as I was doing that, I was reading this story about Mary and Joseph, the Christmas story and so forth. And God spoke to me about a particular person in the Christmas story that really gets, I've never heard anybody talk about this person. And I'm not going to tell you who that is yet. I'm going to talk about a few things before that, and you can just kind of maybe guess. Maybe somebody can guess towards the end. But anyway, and so the thing that I realized when I was reading this devotion was how vital and important it is for each and every one of us to find and fulfill God's plan and purpose for our lives. You know, God has a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. And as Carl said, you know, I'm back in school studying leadership and everything, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit about how God miraculously helps me fulfill God's purpose. I found that purpose. It's been a long process of, at 22, I completely surrendered my life to the Lord. I said, this is it. I was raised in the church, but I didn't really know what it meant personally to know him and to feel his presence and interact with him every day and just know that he's right there. And I'm just on the same page with him. I hope I'm trying to be. And I began to find that out over the years. It's been a lifetime journey and process. But I found that no matter how grand, no matter how humble your call or God's purpose is for you in your life, the most amazing and wonderful thing you can do is find it and fulfill it. And as a teenager, when I remember being about 13 or 14, I was struggling so much. I was like depressed. Now, I wanted to go in this direction with my life, which was really not a God-honoring direction, But yet I sensed this responsibility to God. And I just knew that there was a call in my life. I just knew that he had a purpose for me, but I didn't really want to deal with that. Why? Because I want to do what I want to do. And then someday, you know, I would probably give in to what he wanted for me, because that sense of responsibility, that sense of calling, meant that I would have to relinquish my will to the God of the universe. He's the potter, we're the clay, right? And he created us all with specific purposes, specific things, specific gifts. We're all so different. But God created us with a specific purpose and plan in mind. But I was stupid, and I ran from God. And for years and years, I just practically destroyed myself. I wasn't trying to destroy myself. It's just like in this direction I was going in, I didn't know everything. There's no way any of us can know everything. And I just knew that I knew what was best for myself. I knew what I wanted in life. I knew it was all going to work out. But it didn't happen that way. I mean, I got to the point at age 22 that I realized that I need to either humble myself and get in line with the Word of God, with God's will for my life, or just, you know, face the consequences. So I'm 63 now. And in 63 years, I've learned a lot. And there's one thing I really know, because in 41 years of being totally committed to his plan and purpose for my life from age 22, I found out for sure that God loves me. And God loves all of us. And actually, he sent his only begotten son into the world to die for us. And that's what this is all about, this season of celebrating Jesus coming into the world. God designed all of us with an intended purpose. This purpose is awesome, and it fits into his overall plan for humanity. Where do you fit in to God's overall plan for humanity? You fit in somewhere. And I'm hoping that today I'll be able to encourage you, inspire you to find out how that's going to work for you. We need to access and implement God's plan for our life. That's the name of this message, access and implementation of God's plan. Ephesians 1:5, I'm just going to read these scriptures to you because I wasn't able to get to the PowerPoint. The Bible says, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will. It's pleasurable for him to fit us into his plan. Because can you imagine why? Why that would be pleasurable? Because God's plan is a good plan. And he has eternity for us in mind. It's not all about this life, but forever and ever, when we get to heaven, that's where we're going to live out the choices that we've made in this life. That's where we're going to live out the rewards that God's going to bless us with. And then in Philippians 2:13, for it is not your strength, but it's God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So God's working in you. He's working in every single one of us all the time to try to get us aligned and moving forward. The word access means, got that from the Free Dictionary, the ability or the right to approach a restricted area. John 1:12 says, God gave us the right to become his children. We have a right to be his children. And so we have access to him. We have access to everything that he has for us. And then the implementation means it's the execution of a plan, the process of putting a decision or plan into effect. And we have to understand what that plan is first so that we can then implement it. And about 6 years ago or so, I began to feel frustrated in what I was doing. And I was sort of seeing that what I was doing was God's plan in my life, but I began to feel like, what's wrong with this picture? I'm not sensing God's grace and peace in my life, which is how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have God's grace and peace in our life. So I began to seek the Lord and pray, and Bill and I went to Birmingham, Alabama, and on the way back, I just hit me. I said, Bill, I just feel like that God wants me to go back to school, and I need to pursue my dream, which is I had a Master School of Leadership a few years ago, and that was the most wonderful thing I'd ever done in my life. I absolutely enjoyed it. I got a few graduated students. I just did it for one, excuse me, 1 year. But I knew at that point that that was just a taste of, to see what God had for me in the future, and but that he wanted me to go back to school and become more relevant and to be a little more skilled and to better myself. And I've decided that from now on, and everybody in here should increase your skills, better yourself, you know, always be learning, always be growing in the Lord and in your own mind and in your own self. And that's how we can honor God in our lives. So I never did good in school. I hated school when I was growing up. I had a couple of good teachers that I can remember, but I just thought, oh, no, I just don't know how I'm going to do this. It took me 3 years at Santa Fe College to get out of there. Last summer, many of you know, I felt that I was in ancient double toothpicks, I tell you. It was college algebra and biology. And these things are not my strength, and it was, I had everybody, oh, pray for me, oh my God, you know. And I had already been accepted at the University of Florida for my major. And I was like, I'm never going to get out of Santa Fe. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. I'm never going to get out of Santa Fe. God, what are you doing with me here, you know? And God gave me favor. God's grace is sufficient. I don't know how. It was a miracle. I promise you. I can tell you the details later. I passed that class. And now I'm at the University of Florida. Woo! And I am living the dream. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later. But I walk around on campus. And I think, this is surreal. This is not real. I am a student on this campus. And I'm in my class. The first day of my leadership class, because everybody knows, you know, leadership is my passion, leadership training. My teacher blew me out of the water. I promise you, I had to bite my lip to keep from crying. I'm like, I'm in the middle of the dream. But this time last year, I didn't think that dream would ever come to pass. I promise you, I didn't. I just didn't know how it could ever come to pass. I was just putting one foot in front of the other, continuing moving forward. As the Lord opens the door, because I said, Lord, now I want to do this. I believe this is what you've called me to do. But if you change your mind and want to tweak it a little, I'm fine with it, whatever you want to do. But I kept feeling like this, keep moving forward. As a matter of fact, in that last final I took, I was sitting there going, we had a written part and a computer part. I mean, a part we could use our calculator with. That written part, I got 2 questions out of like 20. My teacher comes up to me and I went, here's the paper. She goes, my gosh, you don't have to do any more of that? I said, I'm lost without a calculator. I said, just take it. I just said, I was so tempted at that moment to get up and just quit. I was getting ready to graduate. I mean, that was my last class. I was getting ready to graduate. I was this close. I cannot take this stress. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I could just sense the Lord going, wait, stay calm, stay calm and move on. Keep going, just stick with it. So I thought, what can I lose, you know? So I just stood there, and then I just did the computerized and calculator part. Next thing I know, I'm out of there and on to University of Florida. I don't know how I got from here to there, really. I tell you, it's a miracle in the grace of God. But when God calls you, his grace is sufficient. It says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have a Sirius radio in my car. Everywhere I go, I'm listening to, guess who? Joel Osteen. I am feeding off that man's messages, and I've got all of them memorized just about. But anyway, they repeat them a lot. But I tell you, going to and from school, it was like, oh, yes, you know, God is for me. He's for me. He's going to help me. He's going to, you know, it's that whole thing of, you know, be encouraged. You know, God's going to help you. He's in control and so on and so forth. And just trust him. And I just fed off of that. And that's why, I'll tell you the truth, that's what got me to the University of Florida by the grace of God. Amen. You know, in everything we do, we have to step out in faith. We can kind of dimly see the future and the end, you know, when we're praying and asking God to reveal to us the path that he has for us, but we can't see every step. Sometimes it gets really hard. It gets really hard sometimes. But the reward is you'll be living the dream. you'll experience it. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. This is for me and for you. For example, my husband Bill, you know, he's a numbers man. He's always crunching, and it's really hard for him to go, you know, I don't see how I'm going to get there, but, you know, I'm going there. And so he decided to step out on faith to move to Gainesville. Praise the Lord. How many can say praise the Lord? The numbers didn't add up, but what did we see here earlier? They're adding up. And so when we do what God, that's the key, God wants us to do, he'll be there for us. And that's how we can say, wow, you know what? It wasn't on me. It wasn't my strength, my ability, but it was his strength, his ability. We have a testimony, and we can glorify God. I want to give a few examples of people in the Bible who, one person, Apostle Paul, thought he was fulfilling God's call on his life. And guess what he was doing? He was a Jew. He was going around persecuting, tormenting, beating up, and killing Christians. He thought that was God's call for his life. He felt that was a noble call. But guess what? His heart was pure, but he was missing it. And I believe that God saw his heart, that he wanted to please him. And if you don't know the story, God encountered him on his way to go let some Christians have it. Jesus appeared to him and said, you know, what are you doing? You know, you're killing my people, basically was the story. He said, you've got to stop that. And at that moment in time, he aligned himself up because he knew this was not God's will for my life. This is. And he embraced, he was able to access that plan, and he embraced it, and he was able to implement it into his life. That's in Acts 26. So don't fear, here's my point here, don't fear going in a certain direction and thinking maybe you're wrong. Because God's big enough that he can show you, no, you're wrong. Here's what you need to do, right? And if your heart's right and pure, then you'll align. Amen? And so don't fear. Step out in faith. God knows your heart, and he'll align you. Another person that I wanted to talk about this morning is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Of course, we always talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was chosen by God. The angel Gabriel appeared to her. She was given his plan and God's purpose, and that's in Luke 1, 26 through 38. Do you think that what she heard was going to be was exciting news? You're going to be a mother, and you're going to have to face everybody being pregnant and not married, and, you know, this is a major ordeal in that society at that time, and, you know, you're going to carry the Son of God. I mean, it's just like an outlandish thing that she was going to have to deal with. But what was her response? I'm your handmaiden, Lord. You know, be it done unto me as you even say. I think that that's so important when we receive God's plan, when we see God's plan. It doesn't matter how outlandish it is. Sometimes you know it's not going to make sense. Other people might go, you know, what's wrong with you? But if you know in your heart that, you know, God has this calling on you and he wants you to do it, it might seem a little outlandish and so forth, then don't be afraid. Move forward. And God will confirm it. God confirmed it through her cousin Elizabeth, and he confirmed it through one other person. Can anybody guess who this last person is? I'm going to use as an example in the Christmas story that we never hear anybody talk about much. What an amazing person this was. Yes. Who said that? Carl. It's Joseph. Joseph, think about it. He was Mary's fiance at the time. And Mary went to him and said, I'm pregnant with the Son of God. And the Bible says he was just like, okay. The Bible says he was a just and a righteous person. And he wasn't going to be mean and, you know, put her out there for everybody. Because back in that day, you know, if you had a baby out of wedlock or something, you get stoned to death and stuff like that. And it's just, he wasn't going to do all that. He was just going to quietly deal with it and move on. Because in his heart, he was like, I don't know what to think about this situation. Well, God knew that. God knew that he needed something to help him fulfill God's plan. And he had a dream. And God revealed to him in the dream that this was in fact true. And that this was in fact God's call. And he had to be willing to go with that. So sometimes we need to implement God's plan. And it's really, really hard. But the reward, you know, that's the payoff, is the reward of pleasing God and fulfilling God's plan. That's all in Matthew 1, Matthew 1 and Matthew 2. So if you want to read that later, it'd be a good thing to read during the holidays. So Joseph, being a righteous and a godly man and a just man, might have been a reason why God chose him. And I think that makes a big difference. I mean, Paul wasn't at the time, but it was the heart. It's the heart of, you know, I want to do God's will. I want to be pleasing to God, and God will work through us. He has a plan. Let's see. I want to share three truths, a few truths with you that I think you need to just come to grips with this morning. We all need to come to grips with. On a daily basis, I try to come to grips with it. First of all, God always wants more for us than we want for ourselves. He always does. That's one thing that Joel Osteen always says, dream big. You know, God's a big God. You know, well, he can preach that, because look what God did with him in that situation. When his dad died, he was the cameraman. He liked being behind the camera. He didn't want to preach. His dad was a pastor of this church, and it was a huge church in Houston, if you don't know the story. And, you know, when he died, it just all worked out. It's like, okay, this is what God, this is why I feel like what my family feels like the Lord wants me to do is to step in and become pastor. He was so intimidated. He was so worried that he was just going to take it down, you know. Well, look what God has done through that ministry and continues to do. And he even says, you know, I'm dreaming even bigger. I mean, they have church in the compact center in Houston and pack it out with, I don't know how many, 60,000 people or something like that. And it's just like a phenomenon. It's like a miracle, all that goes on there and what God's doing there. So God always wants more for us than we want for ourselves. And even if, even for Joseph, it was, he probably thought, well, I don't really know if I want that much from God with this call to be Mary's husband and Jesus's daddy and all of that. But you know, what an honor and a privilege, because when we get to heaven, that's what's going to count. It's not our good works. It's not everything we've done for God. It's not all the times we've prayed. It's you know, did I align myself with God's plan for my life? And then most of the time, a second thought is, most of the time, our biggest obstacle is me, ourselves. So guess what? Get over yourself and get on to God and God's plan. And then third, stay focused. Stay focused on what could be rather than what has been. And this brings the blessing of God. And we see this in the story with back in the Old Testament. There's a story about Lot, this man named Lot. And he had gone to a place in his life where, you know, it was not a good situation. Taking his family, they were all in a bad situation. And so God told him, you know, get out of this town and leave. He said, but it's going to be very important that you all don't look back into that situation of your past. Because if you do, it'll destroy you. And as they were going over to get away from the devil's plan that he had for them, his wife looked back. She just kind of longed for, you know, and guess what happened? You can read the story. The Bible says she actually was turned into a pillar of salt. She was destroyed right there. God told her not to look back for a reason. It's like, I want you to go forward, and I want you to live, and I want you to have a great life. I don't want you to die. And it's a picture of us coming out of a bad situation in our life. And we see God's plan for our life, and we want to move forward into it. But, you know, we look back. We dabble back into the things that we were involved in before we came to Jesus, or before, you know, the things that are behind us. And God wants us to look forward into things that are ahead of us, because he has great things for us. He has better things for us. And we've got to believe that. And we've got to accept that. We've got to know that with all of our heart. And the only way you're going to know that with all of your heart is if you just experience it. If you don't experience it, you won't know that. And you can't experience it till you take God at his word and move forward. And lastly, we have to fight the urge to maintain the status quo. Instead of just, you know, maintaining, surviving, God's plan is for you to thrive. And he wants you to do everything possible instead to move forward and advance in his plan. And I want the blessed life. How about you all? Can I get a better amen than that? I mean, do you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you a couple of questions. What is one impossible or very difficult thing that you would like to see God do in your life this year? Can you think about that for a second? What is one impossible or very difficult thing that you would like to see God do in your life? What one decision do you need to make? Now, don't be thinking about my husband, my wife, my sister, my kids. Think about yourself. This is all you're responsible for, yourself, and with things like this. What one decision do you need to make to advance God's cause and embrace his plan for your life? All you just have to do is just go, you know, start with one thing. Start with one thing. And that's the way it was for me when I was at Santa Fe. College, you know, I was like, I just got to get to UF. I just got that one thing. I got to get to UF. I got to get this behind me, and I got to keep moving forward. And, you know, because I know this is what God's called me to do. And now that I'm at UF, it's like at least five options in front of me. Graduate school, Farm Bureau job. You know, it's like, wow. You know, so now it gets a little more intense, where I'm going to have to be a little more, you know, wow, press into God a little bit further just to get the direction from this point. It was so easy just to have that one thing. But you know what? That's what opened the doors for these other things, was stepping forward into that one thing and then making that decision. Then move forward and don't quit. Tweak as necessary, but don't retreat. And so many times, like I was saying last year at Santa Fe, I just wanted to quit. I was just like, I just don't know. A few years back, when I realized that God's grace was not on me to do what I was doing and I needed to go back to school, it was a different feeling. It was a feeling like, you know, I'm frustrated. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I feel like I'm going nowhere. I don't have any real, you know, vision for the future, for anything any better. I feel like I'm maintaining. I'm not thriving. I'm striving. And all those things are indications that, you know, you're on the wrong track. Now, when I was in Santa Fe, it was like, this is hard. I hate math. I hate driving all the way to Santa Fe, you know. But that's a different story. It was a different story because I felt pulled by the Holy Spirit. I just felt like, move forward. There's something, you know, take two steps. There's something here for you. Take another step. There's something here for you. You know, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep moving forward. And even though it was hard, and it was frustrating in a sense, there was a different feeling about it. The approach was different. The approach wasn't like stifling and depressing and, you know, something's wrong here. The approach was like, well, this is hard, but I know I need to do it, and I'm just going to have to do it. And so I did it so far. And I am just telling you the truth, having so much fun at UF. I love it. I mean, there's like one person in that whole College of Agriculture that I don't like. Sorry. I love her. But it's like, you know, there always has to be that one person in your life. But anyway, so I don't hate her. I just don't like her. She's hard to deal with. But, you know, that's life. That's reality. I'm just being honest with you. Everybody knows in here. Now, don't laugh at me, because everybody has somebody in your life like that. But, you know what? It's a good way for me to grow. It's a good way for me to go, you know what? I'm just going to bite my tongue if I need to. I'm just going to do what I have to do to just, you know, maintain and to act right and to be right and to pray for this person, and everything's going to be all right. Other than that, like 98% of the people, the students, it's a little intimidating to tell you the truth of, you know, being 63, getting on that bus, you know, with all those kids and in that class. I never see anybody else, older students there at UF in my classes. I'm the only one. But everybody's been so kind, and God's grace is there. And I'm so grateful that he's opened these doors and that he has sustained me and he's strengthened me. I got to give you one quick testimony, and then I'm going to wrap it up. But I had a digital media class. And I don't know if anybody knows me, knows that I struggle with technology. And so we had to make videos, and we had to use these special technical cameras and do everything on the computer, and we had to edit videos, and we have to make them up, and we have to do that. And it's like, oh my gosh, I was just keeping my head above the water. And I had an events class, which I love. Everybody, this used to be an event center that I had here, and I love events. I love doing stuff like that. I had an agricultural issues class where you deal with agricultural issues, and then a leadership development class. I loved all three of those other ones, but this digital media was like, oh Lord, you know, I have to have it. It's required. I got to get through this. I was asking for help and everything, but I promise you, it was a day by day walk of faith, and God helped me. And here's how he helped me. The first video I made, a B, which was okay. I didn't miss a day of class. I was just there. I was listening. I was talking to the TA. I was doing everything I knew how to do. I was reading. I was doing all my work. And it was doable. It was time consuming. It was doable. And for the final project, video project, everybody was picking teams. And the girl that I was going to be on the team with wasn't there that day. And so me and this other guy that I knew didn't make a very good grade on that last video decided to be on the same team. I mean, everybody picked their teams. And we looked at each other and go, you want to be on the same team? Okay, we'll be on the same team. I was like, oh, God help us. We're going to hopefully we'll pass. And we went. And so the TA was sitting there, and I don't know whether God showed him. I don't know. God intervened, and it was by his grace and mercy. I got an email and said, Rebecca, you and Tommy are going to be on Sean and Kyle's team. We're going to make four people on your team. And Sean was the guy in our class that got the best video and made an A on the first project. And guess what? All we had to do is run around, hold his camera, hold his bags. He had these special stuff. Well, I recruited people. Hey, can you sub come in here to this video with help us for a minute? Can we use your lab, you know, and stuff like that? And that's what was my job. And guess what? We made the grade was an A. We all got the A. It's nice to be on a team, right? That's why you should be on a team here at Victory Church. But anyway, and you'll win. And so, but guess what? I made all A's. In those classes, I had a 4.0 GPA this semester. Praise the Lord! Well, I can't take all the credit for it, because see, God set me up and put me on that special team, and he'll do stuff like that for us. So I just want to encourage you, you know, just step out there, just move forward. God's grace is sufficient, and he'll help you. Amen? So I just want us to pray now. At the end of this service, there'll be a couple of prayer teams up here, but let's just bow our head right now and just go to the Lord. Just think about the Lord right now. That's why you're here this morning. You want to know the Lord. You want to seek him. You want to worship him. And, you know, if God's speaking something to you right now, I just want you to come to terms with that, you know, how to access and how to implement whatever God's putting on your heart. You have a dream. You have a dream and a desire at this point in your life. I mean, yeah, you know, I didn't have this dream and this desire back in my 20s. I had no idea that God was going to call me to this. I mean, I could kind of see it, and there were things that I had to do along the way. So God has one thing right now that he wants you to be faithful with. God has one thing he wants you to embrace. So think about that for a minute. Lord, we know you love us. I know you love me. I know you love every person in here this morning. And I just pray right now that we will all sense your presence during this, right now, and also during this Christmas season, Father, where we're just celebrating your birth. And your birth is the beginning of the why that we're here, the why that we should get to know you, the why that we should want to fulfill your plan and purpose for our lives. I pray for our eyes to be open to see, Lord God, to see the wonderful heart that you have for us, Lord. Father, you said in John 10:10, the thief, the devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy us. But you said, Jesus, that you came to give us life and to give us life in abundance and to the full. So, Lord, in any of our areas of our life today where we're not experiencing your full abundance in our lives, the satisfaction, the sense of fulfillment that you want to give us, Lord, in fulfilling our dreams, the plans, and the things that you created us for, Lord, I just pray right now that we'll come to terms with those things this morning and show us what our next step is going to be. Show us how to be faithful to get to that next step and to progress and to grow. And that some of these people in here like me, 41 years down the road, they'll be able to say, you know, that's where I started. That's where it started, where I just, the process started. And, oh, I'm living the dream. God, you're so good. You're so faithful. You only know what the future holds. And, Lord, I want to place my life into your hands. I want to place my future into your hands. And I don't care what I think in my head that, you know, oh, no, you know, this might not work. Or, oh, no, I'm afraid that, you know, God might do this or that. I just want to launch out, Father, in faith. Just say that to him right now in your heart. I want to launch out with you. And I want to start today, Lord. If you had been launched and you retreated, you know, launch out again. You're here for this reason this morning. God wants you to launch out again. If you've never launched out, just step out. Just step out and let him take you by the hand and lead you and guide you into the fullness of abundance and to the blessed life that God has for you. Just think about that right now. And if you feel that this is what you want to do, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. Let's everybody pray this together. And then, so if somebody wants, it's important to speak these things out loud. So let's everybody pray this together if you feel this in your heart. Father God, I thank you for Jesus coming into this world, your only begotten Son, to die for me and to allow me to be adopted as your child. Reveal yourself to me in a greater way than ever before. Reveal your plan for me. Let me know what you want me to do. I thank you that as I step out in faith, I'll be accessing and implementing your plan, and I'll be activating the blessed life you came to give me. Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, let's give the Lord a hand. Let's praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything. We love you. Yes. If you prayed that prayer.